So today we're looking at one of Paul's favourite pictures for the church, the body of Christ. Paul uses this picture to describe the church in the book of Romans, chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 as well, that we just heard read, and in Ephesians 4. In Romans, he writes, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Paul uses the picture of the body to make several different points. So all parts of the body are different, right? But they all belong to each other. And in the same way, we're all different from each other. We all have different gifts, but that doesn't make any one of us superior or inferior to others. And likewise, we need each other as the body. We're less when one of us isn't here. It's one of the reasons I'm always sad when I see people not at church. We can't go it alone as Christians. We need the body. But the point I want to make this morning is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The Holy Spirit has given us gifts, and he wants us to use those gifts to serve the common good. And so this morning, I just want to explore very briefly two points. Number one, the gifts of the Spirit, and number two, the common good. As soon as we hear that phrase, the gifts of the Spirit, my guess is that most of us think about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, like those Paul actually goes on to list here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. I know that you saw some of those there. Things like healing or prophecy, distinguishing between the spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, all sorts of very obviously supernatural gifts. For the Corinthians, these supernatural gifts were part and parcel of the Christian life. But they'd also become a matter of competition to the neglect of the deeper and more universal call of Christ and the work of the Spirit to love one another. That's what Paul's going to go on to talk about in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. One of the things I really love about St. George's is our diversity. We come from all sorts of different church backgrounds and none. Not to mention the different cultures and languages that we have here at St. George's. And we see that diversity reflected in our teams. It's great. The temptation for some of us may be to dismiss these supernatural gifts entirely. And if that's you, the challenge that you may be that you need to wake up and see that God is at work amongst us by his Holy Spirit, here and now. And some of us at St. George's do speak in tongues. And I have to say, personally, I certainly pray for healing when I go and visit people, if they're in hospital or in the nursing home, wherever it is. We often pray for healing for members of our parish and other friends in our morning prayer time on Zoom, which you're very welcome to join, by the way, Monday to Friday, 8:30 a.m. Details on our website. But are these obviously supernatural gifts the only gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a number of different lists of gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. None of them are exhaustive. But you may be surprised to learn that in these lists of gifts are included some very unmiraculous gifts. Things like serving or teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, showing mercy, even administration. Now, I have to say, administration sounds entirely unspiritual, but I can tell you that church life needs administration. Without the administrative gifts that Amy, especially, but others bring to our team, both ministry team and on parish council and elsewhere, we would be a mess as a church. I know I certainly rely on her spiritual gift of administration very heavily. For our last example, though, I want to look at two people from the Old Testament that you probably never heard of. We met them in our reading from Exodus chapter 35. Did you notice what Moses said back there? Let's see whether I can find this. Right. So, Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, blah, 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 and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs, work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. He's given both him and Aholiab the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill to do all kinds of work." And so Bezalel, Aholiab, every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary, to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. You saw that there, didn't you? These artistic skills of, and those skills of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, they're all given by the Spirit of God. Their job, Bezalel and Aholiab, was to use these gifts to design and build the tabernacle, that sacred tent where God would meet with his people. And what's more, through the Holy Spirit, they were given the ability to teach others, to pass on those skills. And then in the next chapter, we find Bezalel and Aholiab leading a huge team of skilled artists and craftspeople. These are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love this picture. Here's two consummate artists. Their skill and creativity, it is a gift of the Spirit. And they put these gifts to work in building a beautiful space for people to worship God. And they train others, passing on their craft and wisdom as they go. And this too is a gift of the Spirit. So we've got artistic skill, we've got healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, serving, teaching, even administration, everything in between, they are all gifts of the Spirit. In fact, whatever gift or ability you have is a gift of the Holy Spirit. What's more, even if you don't think you have a gift, what does Paul say? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where are we? What does it say here? "Now to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To each one, even you. But what if you don't know what your gift is? Who hasn't asked that question before? Well, to answer that question, we first need to ask, what are the gifts of the Spirit for? And that brings us to point two. And you see it there. For the common good. What does Paul say? To each one of you here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Apostle Peter puts it like this: each one of you should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Or again in Ephesians, Paul puts it like this: from Christ, the whole body, there's that body again, joined, held together by every supporting ligament, that's each one of us, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The Spirit has given each one of us gifts as we use them to serve others, playing our part in the body will grow. That is, each member will grow and we together will grow. That's the common good. Today's Serving Sunday, we're hearing about all sorts of different ways you can serve at church. There's prayer, there's cleaning, welcoming, counting the collection, serving morning tea, leading kids' church, serving communion, praying, playing music, reading the Bible, leading Bible studies, doing the flowers, visiting the sick, praying, doing maintenance, working in the garden, preaching, sharing your faith, helping with Alpha. Did I mention praying? They're all vital. No one of these things is more important than the others. We only grow as each part does its work. That idea of the common good, though, it doesn't need to be limited to church. It spills over into the rest of society. And the question is, how can I serve the common good, the good of my neighbour, my community, the people around me, maybe my state, my country, even the world, with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given me? Those gifts may include where you were born, what family you grew up in, what education you've received, what opportunities you've been given, what training you've done, but also how you're wired, what gets you excited. You know, we can think of people like William Wilberforce, dedicating his entire political career to the abolishment of slavery. 30 years, and just a few weeks before he died, that legislation being passed. Or Martin Luther King Jr., famously leading the civil rights campaign in the States. I think about one of the guys who's an education student when I was doing university ministry. His name's Eddie Wu. You might have heard of him. He's got a YouTube channel, WooTube, which he started because when he was a maths teacher, one of his students had cancer, couldn't get to school. And then it kind of took off, and to the point where a few years ago, he was named as one of the top 10 teachers in the world. He loves education, loves teaching others, equipping other teachers to do great education. Well, we even closer to home, we can think about people like Clara, serving with her gifts as a nurse in Sierra Leone with a mercy ship. Or Mark Durden using his computer skills, leading the Keyman team, facilitating minority language preservation and Bible translation around the world. Just a few examples. Now, while you can serve the common good both inside and outside the church, I think it's in the church particularly that you'll learn the character that you will need to deploy those gifts you've been given in service. See, the body grows as each member uses their gifts, but those gifts only soar to their full potential when they are offered in love. And they can only find their true use when they are offered in humble service. And we learn to do this as we come together and as we encounter Jesus, the Lord of love, who poured out his life for us in humble service on the cross, dying for you and for me. See, the gifts are nothing without that heart of love. And so the question is not actually, what are my gifts? But rather, what are the needs around me? how can I serve in my current life package? Yes, we've all got limitations. But what are the needs around me? How can I serve? And as you ask those questions, you begin to serve here at church, and the Holy Spirit will equip you and show you the gifts He's given. It's okay to have a go and work out, actually, I am not good at that thing. I don't need to serve there. I'll try something else. That's fine. The Spirit is using all these things to shape your character. But you won't discover the gifts that He's given you if you don't serve. And age or ability is not a barrier. Now, I read on Facebook a year or two ago this lovely post from our bishop about his mum. She's in a nursing home. And what's she doing there? She is chatting. She's praying with other lonely, downcast residents, organising with the carers a monthly trip to her church with others for worship. It's beautiful, right? And I always tell people when I go and visit them, can you pray? Can you pray? When you feel like there's nothing else you can do, you may have all sorts of time, you're physically not able to do stuff, you can do the most powerful thing, which is to pray, to ask God to act, to uphold the rest of us. So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What are the needs that you can see? What do you enjoy doing? What's your availability? Get serving. You begin to see the Holy Spirit at work in you, at work in those around you, at work in the church, and you will find the joy it is to serve our King and His world for the common good. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Holy Spirit and You give each one of us gifts. And I want to thank You for all the gifts that You've given us here and the gifts we see in each other. What a joy it is to see people serving, using those things that You've equipped them with. Father, please help us as we seek to serve You, to use what You've given us in building the body of Christ. We ask that Your church would grow here, Your kingdom would come, that we can shine, be sent out as a blessing to those around us. In Your name, amen.